nowhere to live, nowhere to fall. He used to have money, but he's wasted it all. His face is a photograph burned in my mind, but I pretend not to see him for the 21st time.
Welcome to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. Prepare your heart for laughter and tears as we share the unpolished stories of the homeless and hurting, hope and transformation. Here's your host, director of the Union Gospel Mission, Pastor Tim Lane.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I have with me, you know, one of the things this time of year that is lacking sometimes is thank you. And I've got to tell you that I am so grateful for all of you that are out there that not only listen to the program, more importantly, those that have become friends of the mission, that donate to the mission, that come down and serve down there. I don't know any better way of thanking you than letting you see what the product of all those donations and all the hard work that you do for the mission. And so today with me, I have a guy that has been at the mission for about 17 or 18 years before I ever got there. I've been there 13 years. Granted, I've been coming down for 24 years volunteering, but I really didn't know David Lytle before then. But when I got to the mission, I met this guy, and he was interning and doing the mechanical maintenance at the building. And a place like ours needs a lot of work. There's always things breaking down. There's always help that somebody needs. And I found out that David had been interning there for what I considered too long to be an intern. His heart was right. He was given over to Christ. And more importantly than there's nothing more important than the fact that his heart was given to Christ, but he had the heart of a servant. He was living out at the ranch, but he was even putting his own money in to supply gasoline to bring his vehicle out there with very little recompense. And so when I got there, I found out how long he'd been. I just, my conscience wouldn't allow that kind of stuff to go on. And so I asked David if he would like to have a paid position at the mission. And he did. We started him probably at minimum wage. It brought him up ever since then. However, I've got to tell you, there's nothing minimum about the job that he does at the mission. And again, his heart is what I like. And so, David, I'd kind of like to find out from you, what brought you originally to the mission?
Well, originally, I came back into Sacramento from the foothills when my boss had folded up his company, took a job driving truck. And I lived on the street for a few years, and I was doing a lot of canning and bottling, a little bit of side work. But as I got into drinking more, that fell away and stuff, and I ended up getting TB in my kidney. And that ended up putting me in the hospital. And then after that, I was on care for it for a year. And at that time, I had really wanted to change my life and everything and stuff. So the nurse who was in charge of me while I was taking the medication for the TB, she knew that I wanted to change my life. And she made arrangements when I was being released to her custody to come to the mission, which was actually an answer to the prayer that I had had when... because I had prayed that I could get off the streets without going to prison.
And, yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah. And then I ended up in the hospital, had the TB, went through all that. And the day that I was getting ready to move back out onto the streets, I was praying again, Lord, I know you got something coming for me, you know, and it just show me a door. And that door just happened to be the Union Gospel Mission.
Now, you had told me, you and I were talking earlier, and you were talking about the fact that they had given you 2 years to live if you didn't change your lifestyle, and maybe 10 years if you did.
Yeah, that was 10 years on the outside, and that was like 18 years ago. Makes you wonder if he knew what he was talking about, or I've seen so many miracles happen and everything and stuff. In my heart, I really believe that I am a part of a big one, which is just a combination of a lot of little ones.
Well, and what you said is right. The Bible tells us that there's one time appointed to man and then judgment, right? And so the time that God is going to call us home or call us to judgment, whatever the case might be, is not in the hands of anybody besides God. But we have to make choices in our lives too, right? And
correct.
So God's not going to honor you not making the choice to take care of yourself, correct?
Well, yes, that's definitely true. And I had put myself in a state of mind that I had, not knowing that I had very long to live, I just surrendered my complete life over to him. And I was just doing everything that he put in front of me to do, which, wow, hey, I'm still doing it.
Yeah, you are still doing it. I got to tell you something. When we're talking about David here and you're hearing about the past, David also went to school after he graduated the program at the Union Gospel Mission. He lived at our ranch that we had for quite a while, but he learned how to do something near and dear to my heart. He learned how to do heating and air conditioning and ventilation. For many of you out there that may not know, for many years I was a commercial grade heating and air conditioning guy. I owned a small company, and that trade is a big trade. There's a lot to do, a lot to understand. Nobody can understand it all or be able to do it all. But David has a very good grasp of those things. And so we're able to talk about some of the stuff that goes on in the mission. But so again, David's job, when I say that he is he works at the mission as our maintenance guy, I don't mean that he's a janitor. I mean that he's our repair maintenance guy. And so some people have asked in the past, is there really enough to do at the mission to keep a guy busy? Is there enough to keep you busy, buddy?
Well, you know, if the things there aren't falling apart on their own, you have so many times somebody's been angry or they're just mistreating things or and it just creates so many continuous ongoing problems that I still find it surprising sometimes.
Well, and the vandalism is one of those things, right? We just had a guy throw a rock through the window upstairs.
That's part of that, the little angry things that happen all the time that I was talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
You're breaking doors or people just misusing things with not being intent on hurting them, but they don't know, don't care. I don't know what, yeah.
Well, we have 10 or 12 shower heads in there, and we have showers twice a day. They're supposed to go in, 10 or 15 minutes at a time and shower. And so we get a lot of people going through there to use the showers. And in the course of that, there's a lot of abuse that goes in there too, right?
Oh, especially you have people who are living on the street, and they're there for a variety of different reasons. A lot of them are real careful and they have joint of harm, respectful for us and stuff, but other ones just have mental problems or anger problems and stuff, and it goes out wherever they are at.
Well, and then you couple that with the fact we have to do tons of laundry every day, right? So we have guys that go back there to do laundry. Not all of them are careful with the equipment, and the equipment is running all the time to wash and to dry clothes. And so you've had to do a lot of work back there just on the washer and dryers alone, right?
Yeah, they seem to think that if they overload the machines that it'll take less time, and it really doesn't work that way. Especially like the dryers, they slow down after you've got them overloaded too much.
Don't dry as well.
The washers don't spin when they got too much in them, and it just leads to one problem after another, overloading any equipment when you stress it past its point.
And then with an old building, there's a lot of times there's electrical problems.
Plumbing's sewer system's too small for all the showers that we're running, especially right after meals, when we had 60 men going upstairs, they're showering back to back while the kitchen is cleaning up the dishes that they just ate from and everything, and it just everything's going full blast, and it's running continuously backed up. But if you have to slow down anywhere, it creates problems.
Yeah, so when you first came on the program, did you ever use the 60-bed side, or did you come directly onto the program?
I went directly onto the program.
Okay, and at the time, how long was the program?
Nine and a half months.
So pretty much like it is right now, 9 months. And so during that time, you had a variety of jobs, I take it, at the mission?
Correct.
Okay, and so how did they determine for you that, hey, maybe this guy has the ability to work on things? How did that all come about?
I'm not really quite sure. I had talked to Myron a few times and stuff, and then right at the beginning, he needed somebody to do the swamp coolers for him.
Now, Myron was doing the maintenance at the time, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, and so that was the first job that I had. With Myron and stuff, but I was doing the yard work before then, and I think they could kind of see from the yard work and stuff. But then, so he had me do the swamp coolers, and he actually was so impressed with the swamp coolers. I even caught him saying it's the first time he's had somebody go up there and work and not create problems. It just be able to.
Yeah, Myron is no longer with us. He went home to be with the Lord a few years ago. I think one of the very first things that I had you and Myron do when I got to the mission was the women's clothes closet, and you and he did the floors, did you not?
Correct.
And so Myron, when he was a younger man, was strong and good at what he did, but as he started to get older, we had to move him over into the office to do a few things because his knees were gone, his back was gone. But you and Myron worked together for a long time, huh?
Yeah, we did a lot of different things. And even out at the ranch, we worked together quite a bit.
Yeah, and that's another thing. When you were out at the ranch, your being the maintenance guy at the mission didn't stop at the mission doors, did it? I mean, you were out at the ranch doing stuff.
It was kind of like even after I had got off work, they... not only did they have things that they needed to do and everything and stuff, but the guys that were doing things and stuff, they always just kind of like would wait for me to answer questions so that they could move on with what they're doing and stuff. Yeah. And so it's like when I'd come pulling up after work, it'd be like there'd always be somebody there with something that they needed me to do.
Brother, I understand. But the reality is that you need to be pretty well-rounded. And I know that you also were able to use the backhoe and the tractors and, you know, you understood the pumps and all that kind of stuff. And the ranch had a lot of old buildings on it, so there was a lot to do there too, right?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Let me ask you something. During the time that you were drinking, and yours was mostly alcohol, was it not?
Correct.
And you were drinking a lot. You were doing things you ought not do. Right? You
making
didn't want
bad choices, yes.
Yeah, bad choices, yeah. But people without Christ often make bad choices, don't they?
Correct.
Okay, so what kind of a strain did that put on your family?
Well, see, from a very young time, I had one of them families that was just never close. We really didn't have kind of a family life and stuff. So, I kind of had started like running the streets at a young age, had no father that was living in the house.
How old were you when you think you, like you put it, kind of running the streets?
Well, I was 11 years old when I first got my paper route. And the reason I got it when I was 11 years old is because I hung around with the older guys and I knew their paper routes. And I was subbing for them and stuff. And then even at that age and stuff, too, some of the ones that were even older were, they would let me help them work on their cars.
Hmm. Yeah.
Even if it was just cleaning parts to begin with, it was still having that male companionship.
Sure, gotcha. Because your dad wasn't around.
Right, yeah.
So I take it your mom tried to do the best she could, but...
I have a brother. My sister's 16 months younger than I am. Then I have an 8 a brother that's 8 years younger and 10 years younger.
So your sister and you're close now, right?
Now that's not my real sister.
Okay.
We're me and my real sister aren't real close. But when I was 3 years old, the summer I turned 3 years old, my mom asked a telephone man if he knew anybody in the area that did babysitting.
Really?
And they lived right down the street. And he said, well, we live right down the street. We got kids about the same age. Let me talk to your wife. Okay. And so she ended up babysitting me and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was with their family at her. Matter of fact, I was one of her pallbearers. We were that close to the day she died. But when I was in the mission and it was told to reflect on a time when we thought that the could see that the Lord had worked in our lives at the beginning and stuff. Right at that time, I just knew that was a God thing right there when they babysitted me, because they were a devout Catholic, and I just learned a whole lot from them and the way I grew up.
So was it a culture shock for you when you came with this kind of Catholic background and came to an evangelical Protestant mission?
Well, actually, I've had Christianity around me all the time. So we weren't around the Catholic Church at all. And there's a long time in between there and stuff. So I had a better understanding of what was going on in the evangelical churches.
So when you got to the mission, how did you even hear about the mission? I must have missed that.
Oh, so there was a TB outbreak at the time in the street people.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, so the nurse that was taking care of me, because they had me in a motel room, she had started going to the mission. They were doing the TB cards at that time.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That was when the TB cards first started. And she knew that I wanted to change my life, and she knew that I was looking for a pastor who had, through my travels on the streets, who I had ran across, and I'd like to go to his church and stuff. And so she asked if I could get into that program. And they weren't sure about letting me in that program because I was so weak and everything. But, yeah. And by the way, that pastor ended up being Pastor Tom.
Is that so?
Yes, it is.
Well, Pastor Tom, for those of you that, I'm sure the majority of you, if you listen to the show, you've heard Pastor Tom on the show. He's one of our two chaplains. And so Tom was that pastor you were looking for.
Well,
that's amazing. I didn't even know that.
Because I would go to church sometimes on Sunday. Well, when I came back down to Sacramento, I went to the old neighborhood, right? When I became homeless, I went home.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wasn't even consider myself homeless. I was just living on the streets.
Yeah. I actually understand what you mean.
Yeah.
I don't know if everybody does, but a lot of people don't really consider themselves, they're not homeless. This is the area I live in.
Yeah, right.
You know, we sometimes have a different outlook on what folks think of on the street, right?
Correct. But so one of the girls that I've known her from before high school time and stuff, she would come by sometimes on Sunday, and she'd drag me to the church. And
dragging people to church. It's good for him.
It was Pastor Tom's church, and I liked the rock music and stuff, so it was kind of easy to drag, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. And so you don't go to Tom's church now, do you?
No, I don't. I go to the one that's right around the corner from my house.
Where? What church is that?
I was going to New Life Fellowship for a long time, and I started to say that. I don't know why. I can't think of...
Because when you're on the radio and somebody asks you a question, your mind goes blank. Because that's how it is for all of us. And especially, you and I have hit that major... That magic 60 and above.
Yeah, yeah.
And so at 60 and above, you can use that as an excuse. Remember this from now on. And if any of you are over 60 years old, you can use this now as, hey, I forgot I'm over 60. And people have to take that, right?
Okay, yeah. I think it's kind of strange that I would remember New Life right away and stuff because, well, it's a big church and I had a lot of fun there and stuff, but I want to be at that one that's right around the corner when I get old, is what I was thinking. Not that I'm old already.
No, yeah. Of course not. Well, just because you're 60 doesn't mean you're old.
Right, yeah.
So, but the bottom line is that you've been attending the church since you moved from the ranch. Because we sold the ranch, and it's pretty hard to stay there if they don't want you to live there.
Yeah.
But so you bought yourself a place, right?
A little mobile home and a senior park.
Mm-hmm. Again, because you're over 60.
Because I found the place that I want to live when I get old.
Right. Well, no, and that makes perfect sense. And so you're kind of like out in the Madison area somewhere.
Correct.
Around there, the Hillsdale.
Auburn and... actually, not Auburn and Garfield, more like Greenback and Garfield,
okay.
Right by where we're at. Yeah,
yeah, I know exactly where it is. I grew up in Carmichael, so, you know. But at any rate, so you're kind of estranged from your family. You've got health problems. They're telling you you're going to die pretty soon. You get on the program, and it must have been culture shock for you to be stuffed upstairs with 60 other guys, right?
Well, yeah, it really was. Especially just being around a whole lot of people and having that such defined structure, too. I was never good under that structured lifestyle because I kind of like pretty much did what I chose to do when I was real young, and even though I'd always been pretty good at being able to keep jobs for long periods of time, it just, it was a shock, yeah.
You know, many of the people out on the street find it very difficult, the structure that they have to have, but one of the pivotal things is that they need to learn about structure because anything in our society, whether you have a job, whether you're buying an apartment, whether you're buying a house, or not buying, but wherever you are, there's going to be rules and regulations, are there not?
Correct.
And did those rules and regulations hurt you at the mission?
No, not really. Actually, if you sat down and really looked at them and stuff, you could see how they were designed to benefit the overall flow of everything that was going on. It wasn't... just about me or just about the mission or just about anything else. It was for the good of all.
You know, David, we're pretty much out of time, but I would like you to come back next week so that we can finish up on all this stuff. So, and I'm not trying to be disingenuous. We record twice in a row, so it's not that he's actually going to have to drive and come back, but he's going to sit here in the studio. But I really hope that next week you guys will tune back in because there's more to Dave and there's more to his life and the mission than what we could talk about in this past, you know, half hour. So, David, you're willing to hang around and do another show with me, are you?
I'd be glad to.
All right. So, you know what? I got to give I guess they call it a shout out to all the people here at the radio station. They are kind to us and they are helpful to us. And brothers and sisters, like always, until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of His hand.
Nowhere to live, nowhere to fall. He used to have money, but he's wasted it all. His face is a photograph burned in my mind, but I pretend not to see him for the 21st time.
You've been listening to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. If your heart's been touched and you want to know more about the work of the mission, log on to ugmsac.com. To donate clothing, food, time, or financial help, call 916-447-3268. 916-447-3268. Thank you so much for listening. Join us again next week at the same time for Voices from the Street.
him not to see him for the 21st time.